What's up, Oos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me, about to get them, all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves, you're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit NCL.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry, the Bahamas and USA.
Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. We'll chat with Elliot Friedman at 1 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on what's been going on with the Nashville Predators, what's been going on with UC Soros, and, of course, all of the hottest goss across the NHL. But Willie D, D-Mace, how we doing?
Doing pretty good. Sunny, 75.
It's a beautiful day.
It's 75.
Yeah, it can be.
Yet, but It feels like it.
It's getting there.
Nice and warm, man. Goodness. Why do they always do this to us? And then they hit us with, like, the weather just, like, turns.
And the only days that we get to do shows outside are exactly. When it's 100 degrees.
Absolutely. And then tomorrow, this weekend, it'll be cold and rain. And it's like, come on, seriously? But today is a beautiful day.
So people get
out and enjoy the day. If you can, walk, do something, get your heart rate up just a tad bit, okay?
Get outside. I am a nervous dad right now because the Northeastern Huskies are playing in the NERSA, which is the governing body, basically, of club athletics, right? So the national championships are going on in Round Rock, Texas, right outside of Austin. Aaron Donick is down there, correspondent with some of the parents, but the Huskies are in the first round right now playing Boise State. Club soccer, yeah.
This is club soccer?
So it's one level down. You know, it's not the varsity, but it's pretty serious stuff. Like, they play a schedule of games, and they practice. They have coaches and everything.
Club sports are something serious.
Man. It's really coming on. It wasn't like that when I was in school.
It
I don't know what clubs like.
It wasn't like that when I was in
It was all
school.
Intramurals. There was a couple of club teams if there wasn't a varsity team, but now it's almost like you go to every school. Hockey's big in the club scene now, but it's a solid level. You know, it's in between intramurals. It's not just like you roll the ball out and go have a fun game. Like, it's a serious game with refs and uniforms.
So they win championships.
Intramurals are serious, Willie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
I didn't mean
serious.
I used to coach the intramural team on my freshman hall. I got the Bobby Knight red sweatshirt on, which is fun.
I used to look out just about every day, like right around the fall season. Because my first 2 years, my dorm was right next to the huge fields. And you would look out there, and at night they're playing. It's like 20 flag football games going on. And I'm thinking, like, man, I want to go play. But I'm like, can't. I'm on scholarship.
Can't do it. I tried.
Coach, I got hurt playing flag football.
But it looks so fun.
I played at a couple intramural softball games, and then we played the school newspaper guys. And they knew I was a varsity baseball player, and they're like, you out of here. They told the umpire, and they had to forfeit the game.
There.
My freshman hallmates were ready to kill me.
Why you didn't wear a mustache or something, like a beard and a hat?
I was a freshman. I didn't think they knew who I was. I hadn't played yet. That didn't go very far.
You were a hot commodity on campus,
exactly.
Really.
But the Huskies are leading 2-0 in the second half. I'm getting the update. So if I jump or hit the, slam my fist on the desk or something, there were,
Well, so, let's go Huskies.
Young Evie Donick in goal.
Oh, she's the goalie.
She's the goalie.
Okay.
All right. So, and they have a pool, right? So there's 24 teams. They're playing Boise State. There's 3 team pools. The other team in the pool, Vanderbilt. Can you believe that?
So who you going to root for, Willie? Come on now.
You see what shirt I'm wearing today. I'm representing the Huskies
it's
today.
It's the Donick family
and
special. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's a line that will be drawn, okay?
The Donick Bowl.
I love my
will.
Commodores, but not this afternoon. Not this afternoon in club soccer.
Well, good luck to Evie. Looking forward to updates from our boots on the ground reporter, Aaron Donick.
Yep. So we're getting the updates. And I do have to say this, too. Mm-hmm. I thought I was going to come in today and with my head held high and talking trash. We had the bowling last night. Preds and Pins for the Predators Foundation. This guy comes up to me and says, hey, D-Mace is on my team. Uh-huh. D-Mace is on my team. He goes, but can I get your autograph? I love watching the games and everything. I was like, yeah. I said, can you report back to me a little bit how D-Mace is doing? Because I thought I was going to go in and bowl a couple good games. Uh-huh. And, you know, I could come in and, you know, say, hey, I had a great time. How'd you bowl, D-Mace? But my plans just went completely off the cliff. I bowled terrible last night.
Oh, my goodness. Well, my
you got to get 100. You know, I got 99 and 97. Close. Two of the worst games I've bowled in a while. Usually I can get solidly at least 115, 120, something like that. It was just brutal.
Hey, man,
are we talking with or without bumpers?
No bumpers.
No bumpers.
It was legit.
All right.
I had Luke Evangelista on the next lane, and we were saying, we were both kind of struggling, and of course he got into the hundreds. Because we were saying, we got to get 100. You know, you got to.
Well, combine you two had over 100.
My goodness.
Combine you two had over 100. Chase was Chase was next to me, and his first game, he said, I bowled to Kevin Dyson, which means he bowled 87. And I wasn't no better in my first game. I bowled to Zach Piller. So the
game.
But
so
the second game.
I see, that's what I walked down. I walked down, and D-Mace has three X's in a row.
I ended up bowling at 170. So.
Jeez.
So I had my arm going after the first
legit.
One.
That's legit.
Who's that professional bowler that he won some championship? And he said, who do you think you are? I am. That was D-Mace last night.
Oh, and believe me, Chris Mason loves that clip. He put it out there on the social media last night before.
It's so good. Well, I was bummed that I had to miss it last night, but I know you guys held down the fort for the show, and
we had a good time. We had a good time.
Shout out to the Predators Foundation. Glad they all had a good time last night. I want to get into this because we'll have silly underdog picks in 1 hour. I want to start here with the Titans, as far as the Titans are concerned, because one conversation that we've had this week was kind of getting the fan base's temperature on their level of trust in Mike Vrabel. How much do you trust Mike Vrabel now? How much do you trust Mike Vrabel to rebuild this team for the future? To get this team back essentially where it was in 19 and 20 and even in 2021 when they were the top seed in the AFC. And we kind of broke it down, got some thoughts from the fan base. But really overall, the most important person in that equation is not the fans. It's not how we feel about Mike Vrabel. It's how Amy Adams Strunk feels about Mike Vrabel. Mm-hmm. That it doesn't matter if the fans are pissed off about Mike Vrabel. And if you are, I get it. 3-13 in the last 16, I get it. But at the end of the day, the owner's opinion, Amy Adams Strunk opinion of Mike Vrabel is the only thing that matters. And that's one thing that we just didn't know. We didn't know the conversations that were going on behind closed doors in Amy Adams Strunk's office. We don't know how she feels about Mike Vrabel post John Robinson. We don't know how Amy Adams Strunk feels with this 3-13 streak that the Titans have going back to maybe 1 year ago today.
Mm-hmm.
The plane from Green Bay.
Yep.
But John McClain was on with Chase and Big Joe yesterday. And, of course, we know John McClain, very dialed into the NFL, maybe gave us a little bit of a peek into Amy Adams Strunk and her temperature on Mike Vrabel. This was John McClain.
Well, first of all, I don't believe for a minute Mike Vrabel's going anywhere, knowing how Amy Adams Strunk thinks of him. And even Mike called her up and said, hey, Amy, I want to go to New England, which I doubt he would. She's not going to let him go. And because she likes him and thinks he's a great coach. And we all know the issue is talent.
So that's what John McClain said, that she loves him and it does not want to let him go. And then in Albert Breer's mailbag that came out yesterday on SI.com, a question asker asked a question, says basically, you know, a lot of smoke about Vrabel going to Ohio State, a lot of smoke about Vrabel going to the Patriots. Albert Breer writes, I think it's because Vrabel has such strong connections to those two places, Ohio State and the Patriots. And both places have had questions about their head coaches' futures in recent years. On the Titans end of it, I think there are two things to consider. The first is that owner Amy Adams Strunk loves Vrabel. She made a point of telling people that after firing GM John Robinson last year and included Vrabel in the GM search after the season. The second is there's GM Rand Carthon, who Vrabel has fewer natural connections to than he did Robinson, who came up in New England while Vrabel was playing there. So we have that from Albert Breer and from John McClain, two people that know the league well, that have a lot of inside sources that that saying that Amy Adams Strunk loves Mike Vrabel, and John McClain said he is not going anywhere. What do we make of that?
I mean, it's hard to dispute, you know, what John McClain is saying, and even Albert Breer. But we know how this league goes. I'm sure John Robinson was in good graces with her, so much so that she decided to add years to his contract months before the firing. So, yeah, I like you. Feel you're a great person. You might even be a good coach. But when you're looking at a situation, it's even though you're a good coach, are you a good coach for my team right now? At this point, you've been here 5 years. And I'm not saying that Amy's looking to fire him, but we also got to look at the other side of it. You know, when it comes out, okay, you like him, you love him, and all this other stuff, yeah, that can be true. Like, I would like, you know, I like my friends, but, you know, if it's just not going well in business, it's like, I still like you, but I got to go another direction. You might be great. I still got to go in another direction. You might have benefited, or we might have benefited in the business together at the beginning, but right now, moving forward, I think I need a change. And I'm never going to sit here and say, oh, Mike's never going nowhere, because nobody thought that John was going anywhere, considering the job he was doing, had over a 60% winning percentage. He had a few misses. I understand that. But for the most part, when he got here to when he left, he built this roster up, and we saw the fruits of that. So, yeah, you can tell me, oh, she loves him, and she thinks he's a great coach, but it can flip in a matter of minutes or days. And she may feel that at the end of the season that, okay, now after we've evaluated everything, we've assessed everything, because you asked me this, not saying you, Caroline, but you've asked me this question in the midst of the season. And I was like, okay, I'm good. But after the season, once I evaluate everything, it might be better that we part ways. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but she may think it's better for us to part ways. You know, we've gotten all we can out of you. You've gotten all you could out of this roster and this organization. Now it may be time for both of us just to kind of, okay, you can go here or wherever you're going to go, and I need to get a new coach. So both can be true. She can like him and believe he's a good coach, but she also can say at the end of the day, we need to go in another direction with another voice in the locker room.
I think that's a really good point that you make, Derek. Most of the time, especially somebody who's been around for a while, mm-hmm. doesn't get fired because you don't like them,
exactly.
Right? It's just a business decision. And here we are. There's 8 games to go. Like you said, mm-hmm. they might feel 100% that way right now. Mm-hmm. But after 8 games, maybe it goes one way or the other. But I go back to the central question is, if the ship looks like it's heading for rebuild. Mm-hmm. Mike Vrabel's been on the record so many times saying he doesn't believe in rebuilding in this league. So I need to know, because I have no doubt that what John is saying about Amy Adams Strunk is true. She believes in Mike Vrabel. She likes him, thinks he's a great coach, believes in him as a person, as a coach. Mm-hmm. But I got to know in his heart, is he up for this? Mm-hmm. Because it's going to be a transition time, right? This is a challenging time for any coach. And a lot of times when you go through this, the coach changes. Like, that's just the fact of not just the NFL, but every sport.
And I think I have 2 questions about that. One is, well, when was the last time that either Albert Breer or John McClain talked to Amy Adams Strunk? Was it at the end of last season when she decided to give Mike Vrabel more say over the organization, when she, for lack of a better term, chose Vrabel over John Robinson? Because mm-hmm. at that time, I'm sure she did love him. She should have loved him if she was going to essentially elevate his position. So have things changed since then is one thing that I'm wondering.
Yeah, because remember, they were 7-3, and everybody was really admiring, man, this is incredible how this team is 7-3 with all of the issues that they're battling through. What an amazing job Mike Vrabel and John Robbins, I think you were lumping them together, right? I don't think we sensed any friction. And in 2 weeks, it was over. And and she said, I knew he wasn't the guy. So in that amount of time, she figured out he wasn't the guy. So if you can go from 7-3 to and being one of the surprise success teams in the league with back-to-back Central Division AFC South titles and home playoff games to being fired in 2 weeks, then, you know, I don't think anybody is safe.
Things can change.
Because like you said, whatever the owner believes is the truth.
That's what goes.
Yeah, that's what goes.
And that's my second question is, when does that change? If Amy Adams Strunk says today, I love Mike Vrabel, I don't want to part with Mike Vrabel, I want Mike Vrabel to be the head coach of this football team, when does that change? Is it you need to go 3-14? Is it I trust Mike Vrabel for the foreseeable future, and if and when that changes, that'll happen? So that's what I don't know, is you love him and you want him here, but what's the breaking point? What is too much losing? What's not good enough? What is we haven't won the division in X number of years and we need to get back to that place, but we don't see a clear path back to that place?
To me, it's not the record so much as the feeling.
The vibes.
Like, are they moving in the right direction? Do you like how Will Levis is coming along? Are they dealing with the challenges all right? And then, again, does Mike Vrabel want to go through this transition here in Nashville when he's been here for a while? As we said, there's a lot of cycles in coaching where a lot of times a change in cycle is good for a coach and good for the team. But I think if you believe in Mike Vrabel, which I think she does, and I think most of us still do, right? If he's up for the challenge of going through a rebuild, then I don't see any reason why. I mean, that's a fine decision, I think, if he wants to stay on.
Yeah, if he wants to stay. But then again, you have to think or believe, okay, I know you want to stay, but moving forward, is it the best fit moving forward, you know? Yeah, it fit like a glove, you know, the first 4 or 5 years. But moving forward, does it still fit the same way? Or, you know, do we need to go in another direction with another coach? More so a coach that the GM picks, not necessarily the other way around. So, I mean, I think this season, the end of this season, as the last half of the season, will say a lot about, or will tell us a lot about potentially what Amy is thinking. Because if they go on another run, and it can potentially happen that they went on last year, the last 8 games where they didn't win any last year. If you look at their schedule, there's not many games. And again, I said yesterday, there's no more should win games. I'm done with that, because this is not a good enough team to walk into a building and say, oh, they should win this game. No. So if they end up, say, winning one game, then you have to really rethink it moving forward, because I don't think the roster is not going to have enough change headed into next year to say he potentially could be the right guy. Because to me, you still got guys on contract. You still got guys that you're sort of, are you going to bring Derrick Henry back? You know, or are you going to allow him to walk? You know, what are you going to do, you know, with the quarterback situation? I understand Will Levis is a starter, but who's going to be your backup? You have a lot of answers, well, questions that need to be answered, holes that need to be filled. And it's not going to be able to, you know, turn the whole thing over in just one offseason. So to me, knowing that our roster will look different moving forward consistently, and it's still not going to be a roster that we believe, unless they just willing to spend a lot of money, it's still not going to be a roster that we believe next year that is going to win a Super Bowl or going to, you know, make a run to the playoffs. So if that's the case, then is he the guy for the job moving forward? Because this roster is going to turn over, but it's still going to take time to get back to where you originally was, which is winning AFC South, you know, in regards to your record, winning 10, 11, 12 games. 10 games is not enough anymore. Mm-hmm. It's not. The way this league is, 9 and 10 games is not enough anymore. You got to be winning 11, 12, 13 games. And if you can't see the coach that you have now winning 11, 12, 13 games, then why do you hold? You got to find somebody that can do that.
And I also think, too, philosophically, when you have a coach who is more in lockstep with the GM, can you have a clear vision of when you really are playing for the future, which might be the case next year, right? It's hard for me to see them reloading, rebuilding so quick with the issues where they could be really good next year in that division. It's going to be a tough ask. If your philosophy is we don't rebuild, right, and you're spend in the free agency, which is realistic what they would have to do, right? They would take the money from Tannehill, throw it at offensive linemen, wherever to plug holes, try to plug some in the draft. That's still a lot to ask to try to get it back. But what's the smartest way and the quickest way to really get back to what you're saying, D-Mace, build a team that's going to win 11, 12, 13, and really have a team that is loaded that can win big?
Exactly.
I also don't think it would be very smart of Amy Adams Drunk to fire Mike Vrabel right now.
No.
No way. That's not happening.
One, because you have a new quarterback and you're going to shake things up. And I think, two, maybe the biggest reason why is there is a lot of smoke to other teams in the NFL, specifically the New England Patriots, that will be interested in Mike Vrabel. He is a potential cash cow if there is a team out there that would be willing to trade for Mike Vrabel. I'm not willing to pass up on that quite yet. If you're going to bring in a new coach, I think I'm going to need something in return, meaning trade Vrabel and then bring that next new coach in.
Yeah, but I don't think, again, I don't think New England is a coach away from winning anything.
I don't think so either, but they might think so.
Yeah, you're right. What they think and what we think are two different things. But just watching them, they're going to have a new quarterback. Would you trust a Mike Vrabel to groom a young quarterback? But to me that's he would be, you know, say for instance, if obviously, you know, the Chargers coach, he may be gone at the end of the season. Mm-hmm. So that's a team that's ready to win now.
Yeah.
And they may be a coach, you know, away from winning. So that makes more sense to me. Who else out there? Another team that may fire their coach at the end of the season.
Washington
has, they got talent on that team. They got a bunch of talent. Even though they traded away Chase and the other defense. I think they traded away the other
defense.
Yeah, Sweat to Chicago. Mm-hmm. Even though they traded those two guys away, they still have a good team, like a solid team. So maybe that's a team that's, you know, a head coach away. But are they going to be, you know, would they hire an Eric Bieniemy, you know, instead that's there? I don't know. But that's a team that may feel we're a head coach away. But if you don't feel you're a head coach away, why even make the move?
I'm with you. Robert Kraft loves him some Vrabel.
Yeah. This sort of fixation with Mike Vrabel. He's a good coach. I'm not going to take that away from him. He's a good coach. But what is this fixation about him that everybody else outside of Nashville it's just like they love it, like for some reason, like is it because of the prior, you know, 3 years, like 2 years ago or 3 years ago when they went on that run, Derrick Henry rushed for 2,000? Is it that?
Maybe. And I'm with you. I've wondered why everyone outside of Nashville acts as if everyone in Nashville should thank their lucky stars that Mike Vrabel is the head coach of the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, I don't. Again,
he's a good coach,
really good coach. But I don't know what the fixation is.
I think the national media really likes Mike Vrabel.
Oh yeah,
likes his disposition. He's very respected along those lines. I think that plays into it. But I think the other, you know, obviously his playing record in New England has a value, a sentimental value. That's easily explainable. Mm-hmm. The question would be, because everybody in the national media says this, that he would be a commodity if he hit the open market. And see, that's where trading for somebody and hey, if this guy ever became available,
two different things.
Those are two way different things. Way different things.
But that is one thing that I would worry me if Amy loves Vrabel as much as maybe has been reported. Is does she love him so much to pass up two first round picks if the New England Patriots come calling? Because if somebody calls me for two picks, I don't care who you are.
Yeah, you gone.
Sayonara.
With where the team is, once again, if you have the discussion with Mike Vrabel and you say, all right, you know, how willing are you to sign up for this, what we're about to go through here?
Right. And I take that back. I don't care who you are. Like, if you're Andy Reid, I'm not trading you. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're Kyle Shanahan, I'm not trading you. But if it's two first-round picks for where the Titans are right now, I don't know how you turn that away. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get your thoughts on this coming up next. Again, John McClain was on with Chase and Big Joe yesterday and said that Amy Adams-Strunk doesn't want Mike Vrabel to go anywhere. She loves him. Albert Breer reiterated that sentiment. What do you make of that? Plus, if slash when Mike Vrabel is here in the offseason, and if he is the head coach of this football team next season, what does Mike Vrabel have to do for this fan base to have renewed trust and to love him as much as Amy Adams-Strunk has reported that she does? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mace. We're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Caroline Willie D. Mace. Hey, join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at Twin Peaks in Cool Springs this Sunday from 9:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. for our NFL pregame show. They'll break down the Titans' Week 11 matchup against the Jags and give you the latest updates before the game. Our NFL pregame show is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment and Beast Unleashed. So started the show today breaking down what John McClain said on the Chase and Big Joe show. Said, hey, Vrabel, as far as he is concerned, is not going anywhere because Amy Adams-Strunk doesn't want him to go anywhere, that she loves him, reiterated also by Albert Breer in his most recent mailbag on SI.com. And look, hey, I hope she does love him. I hope she does. But my question is, until when? Everybody loves everybody until something happens. Mm-hmm. Everybody loves their spouse until something happens. Everybody loves their friend until something happens. What's that point for Amy Adams-Strunk where she says, Mike, I love you, but we need more. We have higher expectations for this football team. So let's get into your thoughts on that. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have a thought, Fred is on the line with a thought. What's up, Fred?
Good morning. I'm listening to your conversations about the head coach and what needs to be changed and success in prior years and all that. No one is talking about his support staff, his offensive coordinator, his defensive coordinator. When we had Jim Schwartz, we had a great defense. When we had offensive coordinators that were successful that have since moved on to be head coaches, we had a great that. Yes, we had talent, but why aren't you talking about the fact that he has a staff that's not, apparently not doing their job? Because we're not recruiting the players, we're not drafting players, we're not calling plays to fit the personnel we have. Why is the conversation only about the head coach and not about the different support people?
Yeah, thank you for your call, Fred. Well, I don't want to say that they're not doing their jobs. Because we've talked about this as far as Tim Kelly is concerned. I think Tim Kelly's been doing a fine job, but what he can do is so limited. What the quarterback can do is so limited because of that offensive line. Shane Bowen, though. I got questions about Shane Bowen.
Well, and it's a legitimate question by the caller. But you've already replaced your offensive line coach. You've replaced your offensive coordinator. And I'm sure there are other changes within the coaching staff, whether adding a guy or whatnot. So you've made these changes, and this team has gotten worse. You are in control. This is your ship. This is your team. The coaches that you hire are a reflection of yourself, because you're going to hire guys that are on the same path, meaning we're all on this track together. We're all like-minded in what we want to accomplish. I am the head coach. I hired you because I felt that our thinking was aligned. What we want to accomplish offensively and defensively, special teams wise, we all are headed in the same direction. I didn't hire guys that you're headed this way, but everybody else is headed that way. I hire guys based on, you know, my knowledge of the game and based on what I felt my team needed. So you hired these guys. Eventually, it falls in your lap. You can't keep you can keep turning over coaches, but that's not going to help the players, not one bit. So eventually, just like any other in any other workplace, eventually the guy in charge has to take responsibility. You know, either you're coaching it or you're allowing it to happen. We're not asking for Mike Vrabel to be fired, but how many times are we going to, you know, just give him an excuse? Oh, just change that coach. Change that coach. Change that coach. Eventually, it is on you because the people that you're hiring are not getting the job done.
Yeah,
so, obviously, your hiring practices are not good.
I still, though, when I try to evaluate why they are struggling, mm-hmm. I still lean much more towards it's a Jimmy's and Joe's.
Yeah,
more so
yeah.
than they're not being coached up. And I feel like it's really been that way since Vrabel's been there. I don't think he's really ever had a roster that is loaded. I don't think so. He's never had the elite quarterback. He's had a superstar running back.
But how many teams have an elite quarterback?
Well, the ones that do are the ones that win big.
Yeah, and
they've won a lot mm-hmm. without that.
But I don't think not having an elite quarterback was the problem with last year's offense. I'm
using that as a starter point. Uh-huh. I also don't think they had, you know, there's such thing, as you've pointed out, Derek, there have been some teams that have won championships without an elite quarterback, but those are loaded, great, mm-hmm. an elite defense.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they've ever had what I would call an elite team on offense or defense. They've had a year or two where the offense was really, really good, but then the defense wasn't all that good,
mm-hmm.
2020. And then, you know, we don't even want to talk about 2021, but that was one where they probably had the most on both sides of the ball. Mm-hmm. It was a rocky road because Derrick Henry broke his foot. So, I don't know. I didn't even look at that team and say, man, mm-hmm. now that's a team that is loaded and it will be the favorite to win the whole thing. Even though they were the one seed, I don't know. Like, were they the best team? Were they better than the Chiefs? I don't know. Like, that's what I'm getting at. So it makes it hard mm-hmm. for even a great staff to overachieve that much. That's how I look at it. So it's easy to say, well, he hasn't hired good coordinators, but I don't think he's ever had a loaded roster since he's been there.
I don't think Todd Downing was a very good coordinator. I have questions about the offensive line coaching hires
mm-hmm.
because I don't know if there's been an offensive lineman that's gotten better
mm-hmm.
under this current offensive line staff. I mean, Keith Carter or under, I'm sorry, why is his name escaping me? The current offensive line coach.
Oh, my goodness. Who coached under Keith Carter?
Yeah.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, somebody will. But I, you know, I have questions about the process of mm-hmm. hiring him, of the coach that coached over him wasn't good enough, so you moved on from him, so the guy who's been coaching underneath him will be a better solution. That doesn't make very much sense to me,
nor have we seen the offensive line get better. Who's the best offensive line coach you know? Mike Munchak?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can go to teams.
Okay, well, but you tell me. Whoever it is,
mm-hmm.
Mike Munchak or Mr. O-line.
Mr.
O-line. Mr. Superman O-line.
Yeah.
Could they do anything with this offensive line? Honestly.
But it's
you
not,
tell me.
The line unit as a whole? Probably not.
No
but Nicholas Petit-Frere hasn't gotten
no
better.
No way.
It's about
it's
about developing these guys. And you held on to one offensive coordinator, not offensive coordinator, offensive line coach, probably too long. And then you go to his replacement is his understudy, which it's about developing these players. It's not about, okay, this guy, how many guys can make this offensive line? I guarantee you Mike Munchak can make this offensive line a little bit better than what they are.
See, that's my question.
There are other
but
offensive
not much.
Lines,
I'll
but
take a little.
But it's but it's about develop it's about development. What did I say about not when they hired Charles London as quarterback's coach, what did I keep on seeing? They need to hire someone else because they're not developing these young quarterbacks. You can go down the line, Malik Willis, Whitehurst, or Whitehouse, or whatever his name was. All these quarterbacks that were under, that were being coached by the quarterback's coach, they were not getting developed.
Yeah.
So then they went on to Charles London. And now you start to see the development, the little development in Malik Willis. It was much better than it was a year ago, but he still has a ways to go. But you saw the development. You see the development in Will Levis. Mm-hmm. So I can point to that and say, okay, that's a good hire.
Yeah.
But these other guys, the offensive line, they hadn't gotten any better. Like, they have Skoronski. He hasn't gotten any better. He hasn't gotten any worse either. But I haven't seen the jump from these young offensive linemen that you need to see in your second year. I just hadn't seen it. So
it's a fair question. I'm throwing that out. Uh-huh. I don't know. But I suspect that that's not a job that is just for any offensive line.
Oh, no. You have to be a special individual.
They've invested a first-round pick in Skoronski, and then they've got a lot of piecemeal guys.
But to me, and again, that was a good question by the caller.
It was.
But it all falls back on the head coach.
Yeah.
You can't keep giving the head coaches pass. Any head coach, I don't care if it wasn't Mike Vrabel, if it was anybody. You can't continue to give a head coach a pass and say, well, it's everybody else but him. Well, he's doing the hiring.
Those are his guys.
Those are his guys. So ultimately, it is him.
And for me, the jury's still out on Shane Bowen.
Yeah, I hate...
Who is a Vrabel guy?
Yeah, because it's out on Shane Bowen because not much has... I say not much has changed as far as personnel, but I understand, you know, taking one or two guys out of a defense that have been together for a few years, it does sort of, you know, it does mean something.
But it doesn't warrant this sort of drop-off.
It doesn't, because this defensive line, I mean, they've gotten... They're not improving. Let's just say
that's where they're
not improving.
When you contrast it with the offensive line, mm-hmm. the defensive line is where you have investments mm-hmm. and you have what you would think. I think you got talent there, mm-hmm. and it's not translating. Mm-hmm. So that's why I do think that's a fair question of what's going on there, much more so than the offensive line.
Yeah,
like if you give me five stiffs and you say, all right, Willie, fix this offensive line. I mean, I'm do the best I can. I hope mm-hmm. I can develop them, but if they're just not that good outside of hopefully Skoronski, mm-hmm. then there's only a limited amount that you could do, especially when
the
you start mixing in injuries mm-hmm. on top of that. Like, they thought they would have Petit Frere. He didn't read the rule on the policy, and that cost him, and then he gets come and get hurt. So there's one guy down. Mm-hmm. You're trying to throw Dylan Radins in there coming off of ACL surgery. And he wasn't very good before. And you've got an undersized center. You've got a couple of budget free agents. And mm-hmm. this is what you get.
Which also does fall on Mike Vrabel.
Yeah.
Right. And it's also a team trying to stay in a window where they've been for a while. And they didn't have a lot of resources. They had traded draft picks. They spent a lot of money. We don't need to go through the whole thing again. But mm-hmm. invested in Tannehill. Invested in Henry. They pay more for a tailback than most teams do. Etc.
Worthy investment.
Yeah, but mm-hmm. this is where you have to make the magic. You have to overachieve in other areas of the roster, and that's where they've fallen short.
We'll get back into your phones on this. But coming up next, I do have a quick Vols thought, so we'll get into that. Tune in to 93.3 Classic Hits this Saturday for MTSU football. The Blue Raiders will kick off at 1 p.m. at home against UTEP, pregame beginning at 12 p.m. Coverage also available on the 93.3 Classic app and at 93.3classichits.com. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. So I do have a Vols thought. I want to get into my Vols thought. Before we get into that, this story, gossip, rumor, I don't know if it's a rumor. I don't know if it's gossip. I don't know if there is some actual, you know, any real juice to it. But this was put out there by a Twitter account called Jeff Simon. I don't know if Jeff Simon is a real person.
Jeff Simon, ESPN. It looks like he's a real person, but... This is what you always ask. Number one, is anybody else sort of coming in and seconding this? He's got 1,230 followers. His description says senior sports analyst, insider for ESPN, avid sports gambler, father of two, podcast coming soon. I mean, it's a, when you have 1,230 followers, you haven't been doing this for a long time.
Fake account, it looks like.
That was my first thought, that it wasn't a real story. And now that this has been out there for the taking, for he put this out yesterday, 16 hours ago.
And it's catching a lot of traction. Well, the tweet is breaking. Titans second string quarterback. Funny that it's second string quarterback Ryan Tannehill. Weird to read. Second string quarterback Ryan Tannehill has requested to be released from the team, per sources. I have no idea what this person is.
This is a fake account.
It's caused a lot of traction. TD says lies.
Yeah, it made no sense to me.
It makes zero sense whatsoever.
Just did a reverse image search on the profile. It is a guy named Claude Dauphin. He is deceased. Rest in peace to that gentleman.
It's pretty impressive. Yeah.
You know, background image search, that is a fake account.
Yeah. So we've gotten so many texts in the text line about it, asking when we're going to talk about it, if we've talked about it. See a bunch of tweets from Titans fans. TD says lies. If TD says lies, it's lies. Plus, it just doesn't make any sense.
It makes no sense to begin with. And again, when you look at the person that's tweeting it, he's not from Nashville.
Not a real person.
Well, obviously he's not a real person, but I'm just looking at the profile, which is, when it says you work for ESPN, but you have 1,200 followers, and you look at other tweets that he's put out there, that's my checklist.
Yeah.
Shouldn't ESPN be stopping that? Well,
I would think over time.
Shouldn't Elon say you be
work,
stopping that?
You say you work for ESPN, but you don't. Or do you?
It's not a real person.
If it's not a real person, then no.
So,
I don't think he works anywhere.
So you don't work for ESPN?
Yeah.
TD said, sources say, heck no. So we're going to put the kibosh on that right now. Yeah. Ryan Tannehill did not ask to be released. Sorry, Jeff Simon, whoever the heck that is.
Dang, your dad have been juicy news.
Dang it.
Oh, well.
All right, well, to my Vols thought. Yeah. I want to get into, so Tennessee hosting Georgia this weekend. Before we get into the X's and O's and the football talk of it, I have one question. Mm-hmm. What the heck does this mean?
Yep. We're staying on business, Josh.
That was Eli Drinkwitz after the Tennessee-Missouri game this past week. Of course, you know, Mizzou absolutely, you know, throttled Tennessee this past weekend in Columbia. Mm-hmm. That's what Eli Drinkwitz said at the end of the game. We stand on business, Josh.
What does that mean?
I have no idea.
We stand on business.
We stand on business?
Maybe that's some, I don't know.
Like, did Josh Heupel say something?
Did he say something? Yeah.
I missed?
Did he allude to something? Did he, you know, did he give Missouri any bulletin board material?
Josh Heupel doesn't seem like a very bulletin board material kind of coach.
Nah, it doesn't. So I would love to know what we stand on business. Okay.
Great.
Great. What does that mean? And you stand
Tell
on
me more.
Business. I don't know. Elaborate a little bit more. Yeah. We stand on business.
I have no idea what that means. Yeah. And look, Missouri's been a very good team this year. Mm-hmm. I will not take anything away from Missouri. They're a top 10 team in the country. They went toe-to-toe with Georgia a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. But it's awfully that's a whole lot of smack talk for a coach that got beat 63-20-something by Josh Heupel last year. So if somebody would like to
that's
enlighten
why
he's
saying me. He stand on business now.
I guess. Now he does.
Well, I guess we will. One day we will find out. I'm sure the question will be asked of Josh Heupel, if it already hasn't been. What did, you know, coach mean by we stand on business?
One texter says, it's a thing with social media star Drewski and a feud with rapper Birdman. I don't know what any of those words mean.
Oh, I understand. Because Drewski is a comedian, and supposedly he and the other guy, Birdman, that's a movie called Birdman, ain't it, Willie?
Yeah, it is.
With
Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton. And it was a really good movie, by the way. Weird, but good. I guess those two have a feud. I don't know if it's a real feud or it's just generated for social media. Uh-huh. But did Drewski or Birdman say that about Drewski, or Drewski say that about Birdman? So how did Coach hear about it?
I have no idea. If Eli Drinkwitz is more plugged into online rapper feuds than I am, then hats off to you.
But sometimes that's a great way to have a touchstone with your team. Right? Yeah. You show that you're kind of in with the younger crowd. Mm-hmm. I could see it, but I don't know.
Hello, fellow children.
I think Tennessee's got bigger things to worry about than that.
Does Tennessee have a shot this weekend?
You know, I think Tennessee is a different team at home.
They are.
And I think I'm still standing by this, and they're sitting here not having lost a game. But I still think that Georgia is not quite what they have been. They still may well win the whole thing. And they looked great last week, but to me, that's a good time to play them. So I think that I think the trap mm-hmm. I think this is a trap game for Georgia a little bit because Tennessee looked so bad mm-hmm. last week. Tennessee's better than that. But I don't know. I would be wary, but as we talked, I threw that out to Mitch, and Mitch said, well, Kirby Smart from the Nick Saban, they're generally pretty good at mm-hmm. avoiding the traps and keeping their team focused.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think they know it's not going to be a cakewalk walking in there.
Well, it's never a cakewalk. Even when UT hasn't had such good teams, you still got to go into their building with their fans making a bunch of noise. Now, if you can overcome the first, 10, 15 minutes of the game, then okay, you're good.
But where they haven't lost a game since 2021.
Absolutely.
15 in a row. Yeah.
So, but these are the questions. When Georgia won their first championship, it was, can they win it again? Can they do it again with the quarterback? And he's not an elite quarterback, and this guy graduated, that guy graduated, and what did they do the next following year? Win another championship and was dominant in doing it. The same questions are with this Georgia team again. This is just, they are the new Alabama as of now.
Yeah.
It's like when you win so much, everybody tries to find, that chink in armor. Well, Bowers was down. Are they going to win? Bowers, he's their offense. They end up winning. They still won. Their defense is not as good as it was the previous year. Well, they're still winning. Their offense, they don't have these explosive players they used to have from a year ago. They're still winning.
They're still winning.
This team is going so to good. Continue. If you were going to beat Georgia, you were going to beat them in the beginning of the season when they were sort of getting this thing together with their new quarterback. Right now, they're on a roll. Games may be a little bit closer, but that doesn't mean that Georgia is less of a team than they were last year.
I want to know, okay, who would you say, Caroline, is the best team that Georgia has beaten so far?
Probably
Ole Miss?
Ole Miss or Missouri.
Mm-hmm. And was it at Missouri or was it at home?
It was at home. Both games were at home.
Okay. So I think you could argue this is their toughest test on the road.
Neyland is usually always going to be, if you're playing in Neyland, that's usually always going to be your toughest road test, unless you're in Tiger Stadium or Kyle Field.
And I'll take it a step further. Carson Beck has never played in an atmosphere like he's going to see on Saturday. I think that's going to be the key. Can Tennessee put a little doubt in his mind? I think it was easier for a Stetson Bennett, who'd been around a lot more, to go on the road and win games, and he proved his mettle in the biggest games. I haven't seen that from Beck yet. I'm not overly impressed with him.
Maybe it's just
when I've watched them. I've watched them sometimes when I don't think they have it full throttle. Now, do they have another level that they're just waiting to turn up on somebody? Maybe so, but that's what we're going
to
find out.
But they're finding other ways to win.
But they haven't been. Who have they played?
Did you watch the Georgia Ole Miss game?
No, and obviously they throttled Ole Miss.
That would have
changed
your mind about Carson Beck, because I felt the same way. Georgia had injuries. They're healthy offensively. Carson Beck, this is his third year, but he's new as a starter. I think that you're seeing his confidence. You have Brock Bowers back. You're healthy offensively. They had a couple injuries on defense against Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. Like James Dumas Johnson, their starting linebacker, one of their best defensive players, he was out. So a freshman five-star played in his place. Had zero drop-off statistically. Mm-hmm. So to your point, D-Maze, Georgia is the new plug-and-play. Where our one five-star goes down, we've got another five-star to replace him. Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. They are, even with all of that, and I understand, their tough games have been at home, which is a plus for them.
Yeah. I feel like they haven't played any games on the road.
Exactly. And it's, sometimes that's just the way it feels because they're beating everybody. So it's like, okay, this year they beat those same teams on the road last year.
Yeah.
Now they get to play them at home this year, but it shouldn't diminish who they are as a team. This
team is a tough place to play.
This team, from a statistical standpoint, they are sixth in passing, sixth in scoring, and they are sixth in points allowed. What more do Georgia needs to do?
Yeah.
Like, they are, until you knock me off, I am still the champ. And nobody, there are a few teams that have come close, but that championship, you know, thing came out of them. Mm-hmm. And they were able to pull out those games. This team is still the best team in college football. Until they get beat.
That's for sure. I don't disagree.
That's for sure. Yeah, the question was, do they have a chance?
Do UT have a chance? Oh, of course they have a chance.
I think they have a chance.
We'll get to silly underdog picks coming up next.
We'll find out if the underdog pickers think they have a chance.
Ooh.
That's what we're going to find out.
All right, we'll get into silly underdog picks coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, tune into 102.5 and 106.3 The Game this Saturday at 6:30 p.m. for our college football game of the week. Florida against Missouri, presented by Twin Peaks. Take your tailgate to Twin Peaks for scenic views of all the hottest college football games across the country and home of the 29-degree beer.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I sold my car in Carvana last night.
Well, that's cool.
No, you don't understand. It went perfectly. Real offer down to the penny. They're picking it up tomorrow. Nothing went wrong.
So, what's the problem?
That is the problem. Nothing in my life goes as smoothly. I'm waiting for the catch.
Maybe there's no catch.
That's exactly what a catch would want me to think.
Wow, you need to relax.
I need to knock on wood. Do we have wood? Is this table wood?
I think it's laminate.
Okay, yeah, that's good. That's close enough.
Car selling without a catch. Sell your car today on
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, sweetie, your mother showed me this Carvana thing for selling the car. I'm going to give it a try. Wish me luck. Me again. I put in the license plate. It gave me an offer. Unbelievable. Okay, I accepted the offer. They're picking it up Tuesday from the driveway. I haven't even left my chair. It's done. The car is gone. I'm holding a check. Anyway, Carvana, give it a whirl. Love ya.
So good, you'll want to leave a voicemail about it. Sell your car today on
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.